Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Adad. Rhino is in Studio X. He is. You all right?
I'm making it.
All right. You've got to be in a pretty good mood, actually, because you're counting down the days till you're going to be a little cooler around the head. That's coming up for you a week from tomorrow when we're at the Palmer Home Radiothon. We are presented by our friends over at Dossett Big Four. Guys, if you're in North Mississippi and you're looking to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle, my friends at Dossett Big Four have got the car for you. They've got the deal for you. They've got the relationship for you. They're going to treat you like family the minute you walk on the lot. So don't waste your time talking to anybody else. If you're looking to buy a new car today, my friends at Dossett Big Four over on Gloucester Street will get you taken care of. If you want to reach the show, talk to me, 601-879-4395. That's the C Spire text line. And I do want to hear from you because I got a question. You know, I read message boards. I do social media. I talk to people. I see State fans all the time here in Starkville. And I could be mistaken. I could be misreading the situation, you know. But I'm starting to sense a little optimism among the Mississippi State faithful right now. Now, maybe that, part of that could just be, you know, the wool starts to grow the closer you get to kickoff. And by the time you get there, you've convinced yourself your team is going to be winning the national title. It's the natural progression of the college football fan. But I'm talking to people out there, and more of them, and not to say that everybody, right? There's obviously some that are down on Jeff Lebby. They're down on this program. Heck, you know, I'm not super high on them. But I talk to people, and they're like, no, I think we're going to be okay. I think it's going to be all right this year. So are you one of those people? 601-879-4395. I've been saying this for the past few days, though. Maybe I'm letting I'm letting the micro affect the macro here. And well, here's what I mean by that. The micro is I have watched every snap of every game that Jeff Lebby has coached, and I've seen him make some mistakes in there that give me less confidence in him as a head coach. That's the micro. But the macro is that Mississippi State has a quarterback that I believe is a game-breaking talent. That Mississippi State has a defensive coordinator in place now that I trust to put together a good, competitive, hard-nosed defense. And that Mississippi State went out and, you know, Jeff Lebby is a coach. Every time he's talked to us about his roster, whenever he said, we've asked questions about, hey, what do you think about this room, this position group? I've always felt Lebby has been very honest with us. When they've been bad, he said it. When they've been good, he said it. And he says that he believes in this group of offensive linemen they brought in. He feels like they're way ahead of where they were. Well, if I'm better defensively and I've got a good quarterback and I can protect him, it's almost impossible not to win games, right? So that's the macro. That's the high-end side of things for Mississippi State, is that they have Kamario Taylor, who, yes, is unproven. And, I see a lot of, you're not going to believe this, but a lot of Ole Miss fans, like, oh, Taylor hasn't proven anything, blah, blah, blah. Kamario Taylor, the highlight tape I've got on Kamario Taylor is a lot stronger than the one I had on Austin Simmons. And this time a year ago, I was convinced Austin Simmons was going to be, an all-SEC candidate. Taylor, all of the tools are certainly there. He's just got to get a little better And when I say a little is obviously relative. He's got to get better as a passer in terms of the intermediate to short passing game. I got no worries about him flinging the ball 50, 60 yards down the field, and I think State's got the kind of receivers who can go get those balls. But can he be a consistent guy who moves the chains and finds the open receiver and takes the check down and, you know, able to manipulate the space with his legs to get guys open and get some big plays going? Those are the questions that I have about Kamara Taylor. I don't have any questions about his physical ability. I don't have a lot of questions about Zach Arnett. You know, the talent probably isn't where I want it to be, but think about the 3 years he was at Mississippi State as defensive coordinator under Mike Leach, and the last year when he was the head coach, that team defensively was fine. That was the talent ever really where I wanted it to be at any point? You've got an All-American corner. You've got an All-SEC safety. You've got some promising young linebackers. You've got a guy on the defensive line who I think can be a difference maker when he's healthy. You added a couple of good pieces there. The talent level should be fine to just be good defensively. I'm a huge Bulldog fan, but I don't. We'll just say do drugs. We'll just say do drugs. We are not going to be fine. Fair enough. I understand. I'm confused of where we're going here with this text. Yes, but those mistakes have been because he's a new head coach to game management, or I see where we're going. Were those mistakes because he is a new head coach or and new to the game management, or because he's not smart and we were sold a bill of goods? Also, I grew up and I've always pronounced kolache with three syllables. Kolache. Isn't that some people say kolache? I think both are acceptable. I think both are acceptable. However you want to pronounce it, they are delicious. That's the question. That's the question we're going to answer really early for Mississippi State. Is Jeff Lebby a good coach or not? I promise you guys, on September 27th, I will know the answer to that, and so will you. Because that'll be after week four. Mississippi State will have played Minnesota, South Carolina, and Missouri. And whatever their record is at that point, that's what they are. And that's what Jeff Lebby is. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid till I see them play game two. Fair? It's fair to be. If you want to be optimistic about this Mississippi State team, for the reasons that I outlined, or just for your own reasons, whatever, that's fine. Again, when we talk about macro versus micro, this team did improve by 3 wins last year. They went from 2-5. It's fair to say they're on the right track. It's fair. But if you want to go the other way, you're going to be like, I'm not buying into anything. I'm not taking any of this for granted. I will watch them play, and then I'll make my decisions. Honestly, that's the way I'm going to go. I've said it a few times now. You know, for playing a team like ULM, I really do think we can get a good feel for what this Mississippi State team is. If they don't dominate that game, that's a real problem. Brian, what exactly was the thought process of hiring an inexperienced coach like Jeff Lebby? He was one of the most prolific offensive coordinators in the country. He had had success everywhere he had gone as an offensive coordinator. He was at Ole Miss, so you would have assumed, you know, he would have had recruiting ties and ties in the state to capitalize on. His offense, Mississippi State at that time, wanted to bring in a coach with an offensive mindset, and Lebby was the guy that they chose to do that. At the moment of hiring, I didn't have a problem with Jeff Lebby. I didn't have a good enough grasp on how deep the problems were for Mississippi State from a roster standpoint. I also didn't know that Lebby was going to go so inexperienced on his staff. Thought maybe he would go out and get some guys who had a little bit more, you know, experience, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He made a lot of mistakes there. There's no question about that. So we'll see. Taylor reminds me of Plumlee. He can run, but he can't throw. You can't say he can't throw. He can throw the football. In 2 starts, he didn't look great. Let me get a full season out of him. But Kamario Taylor is 100 times better passer than John Rhys Plumlee ever was. And he's a better runner, too, on top of that. I totally agree. September, mid-October, that's going to be who they are. Hail State. You're right, yeah. September 26th, they play Missouri. Are they 4-0? Are they 3-1? If they are, let's start having the discussion about how good this team can be. If they're 2-2 or worse, we're going to start having discussions about who the next head coach is going to be. That's where we are. There's no dividing line there for me between those two situations. Sorry, I did not realize my grammar was that horrible. I can't read. Don't blame yourself. It's all me. Well, I'm willing to take the blame. Don't worry about that. All right. Earlier today, Michael Borky had me do a top five of position battles to watch at Mississippi State. I kind of had some fun with that, but I want to go deeper into it and why there's only one position battle to watch, and it's an entire group. So we'll do that when we come back. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. We're presented by Dossett Big Four. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Already know.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We're presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. Larry, who in the interest of fairness, is an Ole Miss fan. He can throw hard, but he can't throw accurate. I will not say the little curse word that you put there at that, the end of that. That is ridiculous, Larry. How dare you? Here's what the problem, though, is. You're judging this off of he's thrown 77 career passes, and he's completed 56% of them, right? And in one of those games, his team was behind, so they had to throw a little bit more. I mean, both of those games, I mean, they were behind. I'm not going to judge him off of 77 passes, all right? This is a guy that I think has plenty of room to grow as a passer. So, we're talking about We're just not on the same page there. I'm not willing to say he can't do this or he can't do that off of 77 passes. So I'm willing to move forward on that. But that being said, does it matter? Does it matter how much better as a passer he's going to be? Because the question from last season that bleeds into the season is going to be about protection. So earlier today we did our top five on Sports Talk Mississippi. Top five position battles you have your eye on. And it's not that I didn't take it seriously. Borky had five different positions all over the field. I went left to right, or I guess I should say right to left, from 5-1 on the offensive line. Because at the end of the day, for me, literally that's all that matters for Mississippi State. Because, again, I trust Arnett on the defensive side of the ball. So the position battles over there, I just trust him and Matt Brock and that staff to find the right guys. I'm not worried about that as much. I think State has a good core of skill position guys. You have Camario. You've got Fluff Bothwell, who I think has all the tools to be a good running back. Anthony Evans is going to be a guy who catches 70-plus passes for close to 1,000 yards this year. I trust Levy's evaluations in the wide receiver room after what he did last year with Brennan Thompson and with Evans. Now, tight end's a concern. That's a real legitimate concern for Mississippi State. They don't have a lot of proven anything in that room. If somebody steps up as a tight end and catches 30 passes this year, that's going to be something I wasn't counting on. It'd be a great thing for Mississippi State. But their offensive line, top to bottom, is going to be the question mark. And this is a good point from the C Spire text line. If Chambliss had the O-line Taylor had, he'd be considered a terrible passer as well. It didn't help. Didn't help that you're running for your life on basically every play. We talked about it a little bit, I think it was last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, where one of the things that I was optimistic about was that the the players that they went out and got in the portal, they didn't get a lot of proven guys. There's no question about that. They did not take starters from other Power Four schools, but they did take players from other Power Four schools. And quite honestly, I thought that was a step forward, because last year they were taking non-starters from Group of Six schools. Baby steps, I guess. Left tackle to right tackle, I feel like every position is wide open. If you said right now who is most likely to be a starter, the only one I would throw in there is Cannon Boone, because he's the only returning starter. And even then, I won't be 100% or even close to it surprised if he's not the starting center for Mississippi State. Could be a couple of the JUCO guys who redshirted last year, and Jakeem Shumpert-Perkins and Saquon Miles. They may have a role to play. You bring back Blake Steen, who only played a half of football before he suffered a season-ending injury. But he's a guy that, you know, when you signed him, you thought he's going to be a big piece for you. And then he had a really bad first half at Southern Miss. What can he bring you now with another year under his belt and a year in the system? Then you bring in all these transfers, Miles McVay and L.J. Prudhomme and D.J. Chester and Mario Nash, Tyler Miller, Jamari Miller, who came in late in the process from Mercer, who was an all-conference guy there. One of the few guys who started games for anybody that Mississippi State brought in, albeit at a lower level. You've got a couple of guys, you know, in, as I mentioned, Cannon Boone. You have T.J. Lockhart from Winona, that have been here and you know, played in this system and are you know, holdovers. And then you have the question of Phil Loadholt, who has, you know, if you said, give me your confidence rankings on assistant coaches, he'd be towards the bottom, because I thought State's offensive line got worse throughout the season. To your point, why can't we get proven players on the own line? Well, it's very difficult, first and foremost. There's not a lot of them. And then the ones that do cost a ton of money. State put a ton of money into trying to get Jordan Seaton. And if they had pulled that off, it changes the outlook of this team dramatically. If you want to argue that they should have broken up what they were going to spend on Seaton to try to get two more proven guys, which I think if you had done that, you might have been successful. I don't know if you're not. But I also think that part of it is, if money is the same, you want to go where you can win. You want to go where you feel like you're going to be developed. And I don't think that people necessarily buy into Mississippi State, buy into Jeff Lebby, buy into Phil Loadholt as a place where you can do that. You know, Charles Cross was great a few years ago, but, you know, what has Mississippi State done on the O-line since then? And, you know, that's why I like the addition of Mason Miller, bringing him back to Starkville and having him help on the offensive line. I feel like they're giving Loadholt the tools to succeed, but I've got to see it happen, right? I've got to see it improving. I got to see it get proven. You know, it's the things you guys are saying on the text line. We've got to see it first before we can really buy into it. So when I get to talk to Lebby at Media Days, and then, you know, when we talk to him in camp, that's the only thing I really care about. I'm not concerned about, you know, what did you see from Kamario Taylor. I'll believe that he'll be fine. I'm not concerned. I'm not going to ask what you see today from Fluff Bothwell or Anthony Evans. Not concerned about, well, who's going to be that number two corner on the other side of Kelly Jones. It's irrelevant. The only questions that we should be asking, we should just be peppering the man, like, O-line. We should sound like parrots out there. Just keep saying O-line over and over again. Because wins and losses are going to be completely determined by what State does on the line of scrimmage. Football is a simple game, guys. We know it. It's won or lost on the line of scrimmage. State was unable to move the football and protect their quarterback last year. Chapin, who he had his own set of problems. Don't get me wrong. He's not blameless in any of this. But the guy was running for his life most games. And so, you know, how much success can you really have? If Lewis shines at Bama, I'm not sure you're talking about when you say Lewis. If you're talking about Javen James, that would be a different thing, but I don't expect much from him. I don't think that when he signed with Alabama, I was incredibly surprised by that. Very surprised by that. Because I didn't know that he was going to start for Mississippi State, and now he's going to be good enough to start at Alabama. We'll see how that goes. Now, I could be wrong. Could look up in 8 months, and that guy's the first pick of the draft. You know, All-American left tackle. But I don't see it. That's just me. So when we get to, today's the 8th. Media days, we talked to Jeff Lebby on the 23rd. So 15 days, 2 weeks, and it, or a week, two weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow. I imagine camp would open the next weekend, so the weekend of the 1st of August. All I'm concerned about when I talk to Jeff Lebby is, what did you see from your offensive line today? Everything else will, I feel, will take care of itself. Because, again, Jimothy Lewis. Did Jimothy Lewis, he didn't go to Bama, did he? I don't think he ended up there. Like, let me double check for you, Andy. Andy from Pontotoc asking me this. He ended up at Cal. So, we'll see. Javen James went to Alabama, though. Transferred to Alabama. Along with Kedrick Bentley Jones on the defensive line. Two guys that I was not expecting much from Mississippi State. For Mississippi State in 2026, and now Alabama's got them on the depth chart. I gave Greg McElroy a little grief about that. I was like, what's going on at your alma mater that you're picking off Mississippi State's reserves and putting them into the potential of having to play? No problem, Andy. No problem whatsoever. It's so, look, this is the nature of college football. You know, there's if you ever listen to the Andy and Ari podcast, Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman on 3, they do a segment called Where He Play. They pick random players that you should know where he plays, and do you? That's what this is right now. It's just never-ending flux on the roster. So, yeah, I had to think about where he was. I didn't remember, and this is what I do for a living. So, all right, we're going to switch gears when we come back. We're going to switch over to baseball. The Major League Baseball draft is this weekend. This time a year ago, Mississippi State was looking at Jack Bauer and Jacob Parker and saying, well, not going to get them on campus. How did that turn out? So is there some possibility that some of these highly rated guys end up in Starkville and being part of the 2027 squad? We'll look a little deeper into that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Dotson Big Four. Back in just a minute.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino from Studio X. As always, his musical tastes are tip-top. Did you hear our SEC preview as grunge songs segment?
No, I missed that.
Oh, man. I'll put the playlist out. We'll tweet about it. We did every team as a grunge song. I only had one band that he had not heard, that Borky had not heard of. He had never heard of Mother Love Bone. But I got that one in there, so I was very pleased with that choice. Saturday, July 11th, that's the start of the MLB draft. 2-day process. See who heads off to the majors and who decides to take it into college baseball. Kylie McDaniel at ESPN.com released his top 250. So I'll give you some names of interest. Obviously, from a played for Mississippi State perspective, only two guys in the top 250. Number 237 is Ben Davis, and number 17 is Ace Reese. So he fully expects Ace to be a first-round draft choice and be picked, pretty highly in the draft. The rest of the guys on the list, and there are a few of them here, are all high school guys. Number 25 is Rocco Maniscalco. Now, if that's the first time you're hearing that name, you're like, it sounds familiar. Yes, that is the son of former Bulldog shortstop Matthew Maniscalco. He has had a meteoric rise over the past few weeks. Along on the draft boards, went to the MLB Combine and really showed off his skills there, and is a likely could even go into the first round. Again, kind of the same thing that happened last year with the Parker brothers, right? A shortstop is just such a valuable position. That's the position that he plays. It makes it, when you got a guy with his tools, it's going to be tough to pass. I if you made me pick right now, I don't think Maniscalco makes it to school. Now, I want to say this now about everybody else on this list, is that Brian O'Connor, through the decades, has had a pretty good reputation about getting some guys you wouldn't expect to school. Case in point, Jack Bauer and Jacob Parker. At this time last year, before the draft, everybody had those two guys off to the minors for the start of their career. So they were in Starkville last year, and they will be for the next couple of seasons. Number 38 is Will Brick, who's a catcher, very highly touted prospect. It's only been in the last few weeks that Maniscalco has jumped ahead of Brick on the rankings. He is a guy that I don't expect in Starkville. Every year State gets a commitment from a guy that as soon as he commits, you're like, it looks great. It boosts your recruiting ranking. He'll never see the inside of Duty Noble Field as a player. And we're talking about guys like Greg Pickett. You might remember him. Who was that guy that Cannizzaro got commitment from? He ended up going to the Reds. Yeah, Jet Williams, who signed with the Mets. There's always a guy like this for Mississippi. JT, but at the same time, JT Ginn was a guy like that for Mississippi State. Sometimes it works out for you. But I'm not counting on Brick at this point. This next group of guys are guys that could end up in Starkville. Prospect number 80 is Martin Sheeler, who's an outfielder from the state of Georgia. There's a lot of power potential with him. You've got some people saying that if he were to make it to campus, he could be a little bit like Parker, where he starts off as a platoon guy, working his way in and out of the lineup early on, but by the end of the year, he might be too talented to keep off the field. At number 80, that's if they were drafting solely based on the rankings, you're talking about a third-round guy and he'd be gone. But the thing to consider, and if you're not overly familiar with the MLB draft, the each pick has a slot value. So just to make it easy, right? Let's say the first pick in the draft is slot value $20. And just try to keep the math. We'll try to keep the math low for me and for you. But if I'm the first round pick, if I'm the first pick and I'm like, well, I think I'm worth $30. Okay, they can pay $30. But that extra $10 has got to come out of somebody else's pick. We've only got so much money to work with. So that's the issue. So if your number is big, teams sometimes will be like, well, we can't afford that guy here. I'll give you another case in point for that. Dakota Jordan, a couple years ago, slipped out of the first round because he had a big number. He wanted big money. And he slid all the way to the fourth round. And when he got selected by the San Francisco Giants, had he not gotten picked right there, the Giants were the only team who had the salary room to pick him at his number. They were able to do it. Anybody else, he might have slid to the fifth or sixth round, and he probably would have been back in Starkville last year. That's just how iffy this is. So if Sheeler has a big number, it's possible he could make it to Starkville. Number 101 is pitcher Denton Lord, who is a guy he committed to State late. I want to say he was committed to Florida and then flipped, which is, if you follow baseball recruiting at all, it's a rare thing. It obviously happened some with Will Connor coming to Starkville. But most of the times when guys flip, they tend to hold on to that commitment. Now, one of the most famous flips, guys, as we all know, is Jake Mangum, was committed to Alabama and ends up flipping to Mississippi State. But Lord is a big right-handed pitcher, fastball up to 97 already in high school. So, again, at 101, we'll have to wait and see. Wilson Anderson, another pitcher, 114. 115 is Noah Danza. I believe Danza is an outfielder. Let me double-check that. As you might can guess, my knowledge of baseball recruiting, not huge. He's a shortstop / outfielder, rated as a 9.5 by perfect game. Perfect game rates their guys 9, 10, 9.5, 9, so on. A 10 is they're projecting him as a future, not only a major leaguer, but a potential all-star. 9.5 means you're probably a really good baseball player. You got a chance to make some All-Star teams. So we'll see. Landon Brown, number 139, as committed to Mississippi State. Right-handed pitcher / third baseman. He'll be a pitcher at the next level. That seems like a guy that Mississippi State could possibly get in. Now we're getting the guys that their numbers could be good for Mississippi State. And then Jake Carbaugh is a guy who another flip. Flip from Wake Forest to Mississippi State, has talked pretty glowingly about why he wants to play for Justin Parker. So if you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you got 8 guys in the top 250. Getting 4 of them to campus would be a massive win for Mississippi State. Again, I don't think Maniscalco or Brick are realistic options. Not to say that it couldn't happen. You know, Maniscalco could just come out and say, like, hey, I want, you know, top 10 money, even if he goes at 30 or 40. I want top 10 money. And if he does that, there's a chance. But here's the thing, and you guys know this if you've kept up. If a player gets selected in the top 10 rounds, they're usually going. Why is that? Because the teams have got, if you pick a player and he doesn't sign, you don't get to use that money elsewhere. It's a weird setup with Major League Baseball. So going back to that $20 example, if I'm the first pick and you're going to give me my $20, and I say, you know what, I'm going to go to college. They said they'd give me $15 a year for the next 3 years, and that's fine by me. You don't get the $20 back. You don't get to spend it. So you got to be sure. So if you hear a guy's name called, the MLB has done their homework and they're saying, okay, this guy has said he's going to sign. So the top 5 rounds especially, those guys are going to sign. The chances of you getting a guy to hang on is slim to none. Feels pretty apt in that situation. But if State can get 4 of these guys, and if they could somehow get 5, if they could get, you know, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that everybody from Anderson or from Lord down came in. You'd hate to lose Shelar. You really feel good about him, I think. But if you just got those guys, Denton Lord is a guy who I think could make an impact for Mississippi State next season. Carbaugh might could as well. This is how, you know, I feel like O'Connor these first couple years has been more portal heavy than he wanted to be. You know, the roster was just not in a good place, so he came in and he's fixed that. Look at what they've got for, you know, next year when they've got Parker and Cressman and Overbeek. These guys are all sophomores, so you're getting 2 years out of them. I think he would like to build up this roster a little bit so that it's not every year going in there having to get 12 to 14 new guys from the portal. And again, as I mentioned, you know, O'Connor has this reputation as a coach that can keep some of the guys you would expect to go in the draft, keep them on campus. He did it with 2 of them last year. Parker ended up being State's, second-best player by the end of the season. And Bauer is a guy I think that every Mississippi State fan is excited for the future with him, excited for the potential. I think he's going to play a huge role for the Bulldogs if everything goes according to plan this upcoming season. Why do you think Dane Burns transferred? I think that they felt like they had better options coming in. That, you know, he was a matchup guy. Towards the end of the season, he wasn't pitching particularly well, and they feel like they could improve. And I think it's pretty simple. So, all right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Back with you in just a minute.
And the match is up. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
All All right, let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Rhino, Rhino, are you a dash cam backer upper, or are you old school rear view mirrors and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, I'm arm behind the passenger seat, turning around and looking out the back.
All right, first off, that is the correct answer. I appreciate that. I respect you even more. But yeah, I just want to make. But that's what you're doing right now. Put your head down. I can't see stuff like that. That's what I want. That's what we're doing right now on the show. I got a question for you though, man. I know you're hurting from Monday night, but do you still watch the World Cup once the Americans have been eliminated? Or are you Borky's? I think out. He's not watching anything.
Oh yeah, especially when the U.S. makes it this far in. I mean, we've got eight matches left.
Yeah.
So yeah, I may not be eyes peeled to it I was, but yeah, I'm definitely keeping up with it.
Do you have a second team? Is your second team the same as everybody else's second team? Because I think we all have the same second.
If everybody else is picking Erling Haaland in Norway,
yes,
then yeah,
that is the correct answer. I have three friends who picked up Manchester City, which I'm not a fan of. They're all like, we're going to be Man City fans. And they're State fans. And I told them, I was like, you guys deserve this, all right? You have a hard enough life being a Mississippi State fan. You deserve some easy wins. If you want to pick City, that's fine. But, God, we're going to have an influx of Manchester City fans in this country as a result of Erling Haaland. I have enjoyed the discourse of what would Haaland be if he was, Ernie Haaland. And lived here in the United States. And I think he would be an elite pass rusher. I think he would be a defensive end that was just nobody wanted to face. He'd be, like J.J. Watt out there. But he's a lot of fun to watch. He's one of those guys that and these are rare. Like, most teams have the guy. Your team has a guy that you would hate if he was on the other team. Very rarely is it, there's this guy on this other team, but I love him. That's what Haaland is. Even though he's on City, I love Haaland. I can't get enough of that guy. So I will be watching. And tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, where Borky's out, I'm going to have an interview with Northwest Community College soccer coach James Beatty, multiple national champions at Northwest, but a soccer man and a Scotlander, a native son of Scotland, who was at the World Cup for his country's reemergence in the competition. I want to talk to him about that, plus some more stuff. So it's gonna be a little football talk tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, but we'll have plenty of other college football talk as well. Hey, Dad, is Labor Day's TNL gonna have a record amount of things that are true? I was asking because you're gonna look a lot into the ULM game. A record number would be, what is my record? I think my record is 19. I could be wrong on that. I would be surprised if we got to 19 off the ULM game, unless it's bad. If I'm over 20, here's the thing about the things that are true. If you guys are Thunder and Lightning podcast listeners, you know about the things that are true. Every Monday during football season, we have our things that are true. A low number is good. A big number is bad. I've never had a 15-plus on a win, I don't think. If I'm over 19, something went way wrong. Way wrong. So I'm going to set the over-under on our first week of Thunder and Lightning, of things that are true. I'll set the over-under right now at 8.5. If I'm much over that, though, something's not right, guys. I really do think we're going to be able to learn a lot from that game. And, what's funny is, in retrospect, if you go back and rewatch Levy's first game ever at the Eastern Kentucky game, State won that game 56-7. And you're thinking, well, they dominated. If you go back and really rewatch the game with a more critical eye, knowing what we know now, the seeds were planted pretty early that team was not good. They could not run the football in that game. They had some trouble protecting Blake Shapen. They could not get sacks against a FCS school. But they had some big plays, and everybody, yours truly included, got caught up in that. And you're like, all right. Score from far. Here we go. Mississippi State's off and running. I got to have a more critical eye on that team this year, on that game, which I will. And I'm going to be looking at, how did they run the football on ULM? Were they able to protect Kamario Taylor against this defensive line? Because if they can't, that's not a great sign when they start playing SEC defensive lines. Were they able to pressure the quarterback against ULM? Because if they can't, that's not a great sign when they start playing SEC teams. That's how we have to look at this going forward. We have to be a little bit more critical of you know, that first game. Don't. A lot of people are going to tell you that first guy doesn't matter. It matters. It absolutely matters. So we shall see. All right, guys. Me and Will East tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, as Borky will be out for the next 2 days. And then Friday, I'll be live in Corinth for the annual Slug Burger Festival. Looking forward to getting back to Corinth and seeing all the great folks up there on Friday. For Rhino in Studio X, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.